Anfang Mai fand in Budapest der 5. European Transgender Council statt. Marek Sancho war für uns vor Ort und brachte verschiedene Interviews und Berichte mit. Eins davon ist ein Gespräch mit Sophia von der Organisation Transvanilla. Sophia spricht darin über die sehr ambivalente Situation von Transpersonen in Ungarn. In Ungarn gibt es keine klare rechtliche Regelung, die Papiere zu ändern. Weder für den Namen noch für den Personenstand. Dadurch ist es relativ einfach, passende Papiere zu bekommen. Die Alltagssituation von Transpersonen sieht jedoch anders aus. Transpersonen sind praktisch unsichtbar in Ungarn. Sie werden dort zwar nicht vom Gesetz, dafür aber von der Gesellschaft gezwungen, sich unsichtbar zu machen. Deshalb ist gerade der Council für die Community so wichtig, da Transpersonen so sichtbarer werden können und die Community nach innen unterstützt wird. Politisch hat der Council jedoch leider kaum einen Einfluss in Ungarn, da die PolitikerInnen davon praktisch keine Notiz nehmen. Direkt im Anschluss an das Gespräch mit Sophia hört ihr ein Interview mit Jana Sitnikova aus Moskau. Jana ist eine feministische Transaktivistin und in keiner Organisation aktiv, da es in Russland aufgrund der komplizierten Gesetzeslage keine reine Transorganisation gibt. Jana berichtet aber davon, dass die Situation in Russland nicht in allen Bereichen schlecht ist, weil es auch dort kein spezielles Transgesetz und es somit auch keine Pathologisierung und Zwangskastration gibt. Jana ist Teil der Transkoalition. In dieser Transkoalition arbeiten Aktivistinnen und Organisatorinnen aus 7 Ländern der ehemaligen Sowjetunion miteinander, um sich in ihren Aktivitäten zu unterstützen. Spannend ist auch, dass Jana ihr erstes transfeministisches Buch schreibt, das bald in russischer Sprache erscheinen wird. Auch darüber spricht sie kurz in diesem Interview. Jetzt geht's aber erstmal los mit Marek Sancho und Sophia aus Ungarn.
From the 1st until the 3rd of May, the Transgender Europe Council took place in Budapest. Activists from all over the world participated in the first Transgender Europe Council in an Eastern European country, hosted by Transvanilla. Transvanilla is a young trans organization and took first part in a TGEU council 2 years ago in Dublin and was now already the host of a very great council. But let's hear a bit more about the current situation in Budapest and Transvanilla.
Sofia Szabó from Hungary, and I would like to tell a little about the current situation of the trans persons here. This is a very tricky question, because there are certain levels of the lives of the trans people here in Hungary, and they are very, very different. So, for example, the legal side is relatively easy. So now, as the Argentinian trans law has applied, so Argentina became the word template or something like that. But before that, Hungary was the country which where the legal gender recognition was the easiest in the world. So, but it was not because there were so tolerant and so highlighted and enlightened laws about gender recognition. No, this was because there was nothing official about gender recognition, except one sentence in a law from 1982. And based on that one sentence, the professionals who worked in some ministries build up a custom and refine this custom, and every application of gender recognition was made based on this custom. But it's not a law, it's just we like to do it this way, and so it can be easily changed for better or for worse. It depends on the lawmakers, the legislators. That's one level of transgender life. The other level, the everyday life, probably it's that this whole transgender thing is a mystery. in Hungary. For the main population, they don't even know what is it. So they barely know, okay, there are gays, if they say gays and not facts or more aggressive words, and other who are even more gays, or something like that. So generally the people don't even know what is it. And there are prejudices about it, and then rumors. So in everyday life, it's not an easy one. Not an easy one. The transgender people generally forced to normalize by the society. So it's not a legal pressure, but the society. If they want to live in peace, they have to blend into the society. And so they, if they can, they go stealth. And that's which is the council here in Hungary could cause a big step ahead, because it brings some visibility of the transgender community, but not so much. So for us who participated it, and for allies, and for those people, it's an important event. But for Hungarian politics, it's like what never happened. So it's nothing. They don't even recognize what is it. Okay, we got a few letters from different ministries. We approached that we have this council here, but they politely denied every representation or sending people from the ministries or from the office of the mayor of Budapest and so on. But at least they were not hostile. So I think it's a big step ahead, but not a huge step ahead. The huge step was if the politics would recognize the trans people, their existence and their special needs and their right to live as they are, but it's far away.
And nowadays, like, everybody's talking a lot about the very conservative right-wing government in Hungary. Does it actually has really an impact on the trans community, or was the situation anyways really bad for trans people, so it doesn't make such a big difference?
So the conservativist right-wing government and the even more right-wing party at the parliament, we can say the topic has even got a chance to be discussed. So it's generally the same as before. Mm-hmm. So 4 years have passed and there wasn't any word in politics about this topic. Okay, it's not so visible as Pride Parade, Pride March every year, which is in Hungary like a little battlefield. Not as serious as in Russia nowadays, but riot police required and so on, because the counter-protesters are really aggressive. But that's the only one topic from LGBT life in the whole country which has any mainstream media attention or political attention. And this is just because the political parties use it as battlefield. Mm-hmm. So the supporters, counter protesters, and they use it as a cause to fight each other. But the trans life is different. So it's so invisible. They don't even recognize that they can use as a battlefield, and I say that's not so bad thing that the political parties don't use the transgender people as battlefield. But there wasn't any steps ahead. That's because this only one sentence from 1982 is which a little guideline for gender recognition. And from 1982 there wasn't any official change or discussion or everything which would have been applied. So there were some movements to prepare legislations, but they died away. And now in this last 4 years, the first 4 years of this government, wasn't even any preparation.
So I thank you for organizing the council and for being part of the organizing team. It was amazing to be here, and thank you for the interview.
Thank you.
The council also, the new network Transkoalitsia, had their first meeting. It is the network of trans activists from Russian-speaking countries from the former Soviet Union. Jana Sitnikova will tell us a bit more about the network and the importance for the region.
I'm Jana. I'm a trans feminist from Moscow, Russia, and I'm a member of Trans Coalition on Post-Soviet Space.
Can you tell us a bit more about what is the Trans Coalition about and which countries are involved?
The Trans Coalition is a platform that unites activists from 7 post-Soviet countries, namely Ukraine, Russia, Georgia, Armenia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Moldova, and also some trans organizations. So we have both activists and organizations involved.
And what is the aim, the purpose of the coalition?
Okay, the coalition was created for sharing experience among activists on the post-Soviet space, because we have rather common realities and we have to share our knowledge and experience.
Are there organizations in every single country?
There is INSIGHT in Ukraine and LABRIS in Kyrgyzstan. And in other countries, there are individual activists like me.
Can you tell us a bit more about the current situation on trans rights in Russia?
There is no law on legal gender recognition, and so the situation is not bad in comparison to the situation in Ukraine or Kyrgyzstan, where the procedure exists and requires surgery. Russia is not the worst example, because people sometimes can change their documents without surgery, but it's rather difficult, but some cases exist. But we have different problems, like we cannot register an organization, we cannot hold rallies, and so on. But as far as I know, there are some registered LGBT organizations, so this is possible, but very difficult. They had to go through a lot of courts to register their organizations.
And you mentioned before that you're actually working on writing a book on trans feminist in Russian. So could you tell a bit more about this project?
Actually, it's going to be the first book on trans issues, and especially trans feminism in Russian, because there are not many people who write on these issues. So, well, I find it that it's going to be a very important project, and it is, I think, the work. I will get some support from other members of Trans Coalition, so it can be also our collective work as well.
Das war Marek Sanche im Gespräch mit Jana aus Russland und Sophia aus Ungarn. Links zur Transkoalition und zu Transvanilla findet ihr auf unserer Webseite unter transgenderradio.info.